Stunning Young Turks. Cenk Uygur, legendary Anna Kasparian.
Legendary.
I was in Austin for South By over the weekend. I did a lot of work and I did a lot of drinking. Mm-hmm. During the postgame, we will discuss the drinking part.
Okay.
I briefly turned the charm back on for like the first time in a dozen years.
What does that mean?
That means the nuclear reactor is on. Okay.
Like in talking to women?
In talking to women. Uh-oh.
Do you really want to share that information?
No, I do. In the postgame. TYTnetwork.com/join.
Okay.
Drums.
Okay.
What were the women's reactions?
Mm-hmm.
Drums. Okay. But the reason I brought it up here is because, as usual, women saying, oh, Anna's our role model. There's pedicabs in Austin.
Uh-huh.
One guy was like, tell Anna all the pedicabbers are on her side. Like, I'm not sure you know that, but okay. I like that the voice of the pedicabs are on the side of Anna Kasparian.
All right, loving it.
All right, cool. Joshua Kaipo Beta writes in, oh my God, daylight savings is over and I missed the first hour. You got to wake up, Joshua. But don't worry. If you are a member, you also get the show anytime you want without ads. TYTnetwork.com/join.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Old Turk says, it's a pretty strong indication. Either someone in the bank, referring to Alpha Bank, is communicating with a server or trying to make it look like it did, right? I totally agree with you on that. Last one, Sean Wilcox says, secret funding from Russia would explain how Trump's fundraising appeared to be so low, and yet he had always had tons of money to spend. Sean, no, that's not quite right. He didn't have tons of money to spend, and he didn't spend as much money. If he was getting money from the Russians, that's an if, because we don't have the evidence yet. He totally did. It would have been for other reasons. We talked about this in Old School. Again, that's for the members. Sorry, but the members power our show, you should check out the last Old School. He might have had loans from the Russians earlier. It might be related to Rosneft, etc. Okay, and then I just want to check in real quick again on the journalism drive. Thomas from South Dakota, $15. Stuart from Canada, $27. Wayne from New Zealand, $27. I love it. I love the international support for it. Nomi's here. Jordan's here. Michael Tracy's here. Emma's here. We're going to have all these guys on the show. Power panels all week, Tuesday through Thursday for you guys. Let me see where we are in the drive. 1,425,000. All of a sudden, close to 1.5, where we would have to release new set of names.
Damn.
Drums.
Do you already have a name locked down?
I have two names locked down.
Mm-hmm.
But the third one I don't yet, and mm-hmm. I'm in a slight panic. A third one? Normally there's two. There's a giant bonus in this round. I'm not saying anything. I just said that. That's all. Okay. All right. Let's go forward.
All right.
No, I know it, Anna. They're going to love the bonus.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go forward.
In the midst of all the healthcare debates, the Trump administration and Republicans in Congress managed to take the first steps in approving legislation that would allow employers to demand genetic testing from their employees. Now, this is part of the wellness programs that some of the major corporations in the United States offer. And thanks to the Obama administration, in 2008, there were certain protections for employees that would prevent employers from asking them or demanding from them this type of genetic information. However, if Republicans get their way and if big corporations get their way, pretty soon your employer could ask you to take genetic tests or pay a hefty fine. Now, this legislation would allow companies to require employees to undergo genetic testing or risk paying a penalty of thousands of dollars and would let employers see that genetic and other health information. So the bill, H.R. 1313, was approved by a House committee on Wednesday, just this past Wednesday, with all 22 Republicans supporting it and all 17 Democrats opposed. Also, it would allow employers to ask employees invasive questions about genetic tests they and their families have undergone and to impose stiff financial penalties on employees who choose to keep such information private, thus empowering employers to coerce their employees into providing their genetic information. This is insane.
I think it is a disastrous idea. And let me break down all the different reasons why. First off, when they know your genetic info, they can discriminate against you ahead of time. So if you are predisposed to certain things, even if you don't get them, you might never even get that disease, but you're predisposed to it according to your genes. So this is a level of discrimination that is molecular. So before they had, you know, crude racism bigotry. Oh, you're Muslim, you're Jewish, we're going to discriminate. You're black, you're brown, and we're going to discriminate. Now this makes a mockery of that kind of discrimination. This says, no, I'm going to get down to your DNA, and then I'm going to make you pay more, or you might lose your job. I mean, this is just out of a futuristic movie.
Right.
Where they remember, I mean, like every futuristic movie, they know your DNA code. There's the superior people and the inferior people, and the inferior people are designed according to their genetic code, or they're put in a certain areas because we already know what your potential is. Jesus Christ, this is the direction we're going?
Yeah, it's disastrous. I mean, I think that this goes beyond just being invasive. I mean, it gets into your personal life, it gets into your privacy, it gets into your medical history and your medical issues. And so, look, understand the reason why big corporations want to do this, or any company would want to do this, is because if they're going to provide health insurance, it's going to be costlier if they have employees that could get sick. And so another thing that they could do is, you know, ask these super invasive questions about what your habits are and whether or not you intend on getting pregnant, right? And that could lead to some decisions, you know, in the future about, you know, whether or not they're going to promote you, whether or not they're even going to keep you on board. Maybe you're too costly because of the health costs associated with your genetic predispositions. So it's,
or your pregnancy.
Or your pregnancy. So these are all things that you should keep in mind. There's also another layer to this involving third parties that companies will actually contract with to run these so-called wellness programs. And these complete and utter strangers would have access to your medical information, which, by the way, they also sell to third parties, right? And so all of a sudden you'll start getting this promotional, you know, crap in the mail about, you know, some weight loss class that you can join or whatever. So there's also the level of spam that you're going to have to deal
with. It's not even the best. They're going to remarket you.
Yeah.
Once they've figured out who you are all the way down to the genetic level, they're going to just get advertising that shoves this stuff down your throat. You might not even know what you're predisposed to.
Right.
And but third parties of third parties know, and they're already marketing to you based on that.
Yep.
So no. The third party part of it is disastrous. The other thing is, how much are we going to let giant corporations crush us? So they're going to squeeze you and squeeze you. And so if you're born a certain way, nope, you're going to pay more. You're going to pay more because I got to maximize profit. I'm gonna squeeze every little piece out of you. And if you're gonna cost me $1,000 more because you might one day get a disease down the road, you're paying me that $1,000. I'm not paying it. You are. That's why productivity is sky high for Americans, but wages are stagnant. Because and these establishment Republicans and establishment Democrats think that they're so clever, and they keep telling you, no, Americans love businesses. No, they like small businesses. They like the idea of business. They do not like multinational corporations that are crushing them.
Right. And so I did a little research into the public's perception of this type of legislation because I was curious to see if conservatives or Republicans in general would be on board for this type of thing. And no, they absolutely hate it. They hate the idea of it because this is something that will negatively impact everyone, regardless of what political party you're in, regardless of what your race is, regardless of what your sexual orientation is. This negatively impacts every single American who would be exposed to this type of behavior in a corporate world. And so I just can't believe, look, here's what Trump and Congress is doing right now that has worked. It's a perfect strategy. They're just flooding the news cycle. They're flooding it with craziness. And so while we're paying attention to one big issue, they secretly pass, you know, this type of legislation. No one even knew that this passed. Like, no one even paid attention to it until late Friday night when I came across the story.
This is what drives me crazy about the Democratic Party. Why? Because look, the Democratic Party has its own issues with corruption. We talk about it all the time. And for example, President Obama refused to let Medicare negotiate with drug companies. Oh, that's so corrupt. That's so terrible. That's so short-sighted, if you ask me. I know he thought he was doing a deal to pass Obamacare, right? But look at this. In this case, the Democrats are doing the right thing. They're protecting your privacy. That's what they did. They passed a law to protect your privacy under Obama. The Republicans, the minute they get in, they're like, multinational corporations, what can we give you? We'll give you the pipelines, we'll give you But there's another story today about how they're going to give insurance companies even more advantages. We're going to give you all of our genetic information. We're going to give you the oil country. We're going to give you everything you ever dreamed of. And you know, today the Democratic Party is polling less than the Republican Party. The Republican Party is the picture of corruption. There's almost nothing they do that isn't corrupt. How could they possibly poll better than anyone? But the Democrats are so incompetent that they're losing to the most corrupt party we've ever seen in any lifetime in America, not just our lifetimes.
Well, Democrats are fundamentally weak in fighting back. And so I think if the tables were turned and Democrats were doing something that Republicans didn't like, they would exploit it to no end.
They would breathe fire over this.
Yes.
So we should breathe fire over it. And look, when it comes to actual voters, the Republicans' voters are actually united, as Anna pointed out, with Democratic voters and independents. And libertarians, we all agree, get out of our lives. Get out of our lives. I mean, you guys, the Republicans who are pissed at Bloomberg because he wanted to charge you a little extra for Coke. And by the way, I was there with you. I didn't agree with that either. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to ask me what I'm drinking and, oh, it's got too many calories and did you eat a banana cream pie? As you can tell, I'm not interested in you invading my personal life on that. Get out, get out, get out of our lives. Now, if you thought that was bad, you thought that was invasive, this is, if I said it literally a million times worse, that wouldn't do it justice. They're going to know your entire genetic code and discriminate based on that. And the Republicans just gave businesses, big businesses, all those advantages at your expense.
Yep. There's some other news when it comes to healthcare, so let's get to that. We all know that pharmaceutical companies engage in a little bit of price gouging, and shareholders are very much concerned about that because if a pharmaceutical company goes too far, well, a shareholder's investment in that company could be at risk. So as a result, shareholders were pushing for legislation or regulation that would force pharmaceutical companies to disclose what their rationale is for increasing prices for various medication. Well, you would think that Trump, who claimed that he was going to be tough on these pharmaceutical companies, would side with the shareholders here. But it turns out that some of the people that he appointed himself are very much against this and have put a stop to it. So investor groups last year filed shareholder resolutions that, if passed, would force their boards to more meticulously detail their price increases for major medicines and to provide the rationale and criteria used for these price increases. Now, the Securities and Exchange Commission endorsed drug companies' move to block the resolutions from being voted on by shareholders at their annual meetings. They're not even going to get to vote on it. The SEC move followed Trump promoting Republican SEC Commissioner Michael Pior to serve as acting chairman of the agency.
So now, my take on this is a tiny bit complicated. And so first off, if this was applied to any random industry, I think I would vote no. So let me explain. Mm-hmm. So if they said to Nike, you've got to tell us how you justify the price of your sneakers, I'd say, well, no, that's kind of their business, not your business. Mm-hmm. People will either buy the sneakers or they won't buy the sneakers. Why do they have to justify what they're charging? So I would vote no on that if I was a shareholder and that came up in the Nike's shareholder meeting, right? And I would consider that overregulation. But, and there's a lot of buts here. One, healthcare isn't Nike's.
Yeah.
And healthcare applies to all of us. And you've got these middlemen, these insurance companies, we actually don't even need, that are making a profit off of us.
Right.
We could actually get the healthcare insurance direct from the government, as almost all other developed countries do, and then we would cut out their profits, which is sometimes 15 to 20% at least, sometimes much higher, mm-hmm. and we could keep that money. So when we say, hey, it might be good to see how the healthcare companies justify their costs, especially the insurance guys, that makes a little bit more sense to the public. But in this case, it's not us asking. This is where it makes a big, big difference. It's the shareholders of those companies that are asking. Now, on that note, I never understand why this is even a question. The shareholders of the company are the owners of the company.
That's right.
And every once in a while, these corporate executives go, I don't care what my stinking owners want. What the hell? You're supposed to be working for them. That's how capitalism works, right? They're like, nah, I don't really care. I'm in charge. I get to set the rules.
Right.
And I'm the one buying off the politicians. So I'm going to tell the politicians, in this case the Republican Party, don't even let the owners of the company vote on whether they can see this information. No, it's one thing if they vote and they might vote no, like I would, right? If I was, you know, a shareholder in Nike or some other company, right? But it's another thing if you say they're not even allowed to vote. How could the shareholders not be allowed to vote on the company that they own?
Right.
And this isn't capitalism. This is crony capitalism.
And this is, I think, the first step and certainly foreshadowing of what pharmaceutical companies will be like under Trump's administration. There was a lot of tough talk, but immediately after Trump met with these pharmaceutical companies, the CEOs of these pharmaceutical companies, things changed very quickly, right? And so you don't hear a lot from him, especially in midst of all of these healthcare debates. You don't hear a lot from him or anything from him regarding the price of medicine, why it is that in Canada you can buy much cheaper pharmaceutical drugs, but here in the United States you're paying four times more in a lot of cases for the exact same drugs. You don't hear him talking about those things anymore. Let me give you some more information. So last month, federal lawmakers from both parties helped the industry block Senate legislation to let Americans purchase lower-priced FDA-approved medicines from Canada, right? Jesus. So that is absurd. And by the way, again, let's emphasize that it wasn't just Republicans, it was Democrats as well. And also, some of these shareholders are really upset about this. And, you know, of course, they're concerned about the American public, I'm sure. But most of it comes down to them and their business, you know? So let me give you a statement from Susan Vickers. She says, apart from the obvious risk to public health, we view transparency around how prices are developed as a fundamental tenet of good governance. Investors believe the information to be material as we see continued secrecy around pricing strategies as a clear legal, reputational, and financial risk to our investments.
Look, I can give you a million examples, but here, let's do one example. And I'm not saying they do this, but they could if they hide it. So what if they said, okay, all right, we're going to increase prices by 25%. Why? We're not going to tell you. If it turns out that you look at their books and they increase prices by 25% because they want to give 24% of that to their executives to take home. You go, wait a minute, as a shareholder in the company, I'd like to know that. So can you tell me why you increased the prices? Mm-hmm. Now, it's a little bit more complicated than that because there are many rules governing compensation for executives, etc., right? But you can see why they might want to know what you're doing with their company. It is incredible arrogance on the part of the executives to say, no, I do declare, I will not be telling the owners anything, because they already control the politicians. So again, Republicans saying one thing, doing the other. Trump, by the way, I'm looking for reasons to give him credit on, because I don't like partisanship, right? So when Obama and Bush both gave the drug companies this monopoly where we couldn't even negotiate drug prices with them, it drove me crazy. It didn't make it any better when Obama did it rather than Bush. So when Trump said he was going to take that away and we're going to negotiate for better prices on Medicare, I said, great, I give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. And then when you're not looking, immediately what does he do? Oh, secretly, drug companies, and here you go, there's a huge, huge advantage for you. Keep doing exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, nothing's going to get better under Trump. Anything that he claimed to do that would appeal to some liberals, he's not going to do. And he's been clear about that so far. All right, one more story before we go to break. This is my personal favorite. A Texas lawmaker would like to level the playing field among men and women when it comes to reproductive rights. So she proposed a $100 fine every time a man masturbates. Okay, so let me give you the details. This is Representative Jessica Farr, and she would fine men $100 for masturbating and require rectal exams before they get a vasectomy, a colonoscopy, or Viagra prescription. Her bill promotes similarly invasive restrictions on men, including the fine for emissions outside a woman's vagina.
That is against the Bible.
Yep. Which will be considered an act against an unborn child and failing to preserve the sanctity of life. The bill, filed Friday, also requires storage of the emissions for future conception. A little more about this bill. It does impose a 24-hour waiting period on vasectomies, colonoscopies, and Viagra prescriptions, along with the medically necessary rectal exams. I think this is hilarious. And you see a lot of female lawmakers propose legislation like this. It's usually meant to be satire. It's not meant to be serious. But it also kind of drives home a point about how there is a lot of inequality when it comes to reproductive rights and things like that. By the way, I honestly didn't know this until recently, and it blew my mind. So did you guys know that the Pentagon spent $294 million on erectile dysfunction drugs in 2011 alone? And in 2014, $84.24 million. Wow. And so you hear conservatives always whining about birth control, like, birth control, all these women want a handout. But what about your stiffy that we're paying for? You're cool with that, right? You don't have any problems with that.
Yeah. Apparently, we're not winning at the Pentagon anymore. Okay. Well, after the Viagra, maybe so. All right. So what I'm most intrigued by is the male Republicans in Texas who are outraged by this bill. They find it crude and ridiculous and all this stuff that they cannot see outside their own perspective because she's mirroring their language. So she says rectal exam when they say vaginal exam. And to them, they're like, how dare you even talk about rectal exams for men? But we should do vaginal probes of you. How could you not see that hypocrisy? Because then they think, well, that's not me, that's you. Mm-hmm. Of course I'm going to force you to have a vaginal probe before you have an abortion. You can't force me to have a rectal probe before any of the things that I want. Mm-hmm. I'm a male. I don't understand her, right? Then number two, 24-hour waiting period before you can do all the things that you do as men, medical procedures. They're like, how dare you? But wait a minute, you say that they need a 24-hour waiting period before an abortion. Why is that not? And by the way, they have a perfectly legal right to have an abortion. It's just as legal as any procedure you're having.
You know what I would also like to add to that, at least in terms of the language of this legislation? I would like to add a portion where you have to counsel, the doctor has to counsel the man on all of the uncomfortable components of the procedure that he needs to have done, right? But like in specific detail, and also sprinkle in some medically inaccurate information as well to deter him from getting that colonoscopy that he needs, or the rectal exam, or the vasectomy, whatever it is.
Yeah, because that is exactly what they do to women. Mm-hmm. So it's on par. So when it comes to men, they find it unconscionable and unthinkable. Mm-hmm. But for women, they do it willy-nilly without giving it a second thought. So finally, we get to the biblical portion of this. So in the whole reason we're having this silly pro-life, pro-choice debate, which, by the way, they don't have in a lot of other countries. In China, they don't have this debate at all. So because it's not part of their religion. So if it's not part of the religion, they're like, why would you interfere with the doctor and the woman? Why would the government care? Even China, communist China's like, why would you care? I don't understand why you would care.
Yeah, right? Look, China's on the opposite extreme.
I know, no. They were. And yeah. And that's also bad because that's the government interfering and saying you must do it, right? So, okay, get out of our lives. But if you're going to be in our lives for biblical purposes, okay, then she's right. Onanism, that's what it's called. Masturbation, spilling your seed is called onanism. It's against the Bible. The Bible says it's wrong. Just like, well, actually, it's not true. The Bible is totally okay with abortion. Read Numbers and you'll see. But you're totally wrong about the Bible. But even if you were right about the Bible, it also says you shouldn't masturbate. It says it. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we passing laws for that?
The Bible's no fun. Like, let's just keep it real. Like, where's the fun part of the Bible? Like, you can't do anything. You're not allowed to eat shrimp.
And then if you make any money at all, you got to give it to the poor.
Well, I'm all right with that part.
Even the good parts of the Bible are kind of a bummer. Okay. So anyway, and speaking of shrimp, you know that's my favorite topic. Mm-hmm. So why? Look, we're going to have a lot more agnostics and atheists in office because the younger generation is so much more, non-religious.
Yes.
When you guys get into office, propose the Red Lobster Amendment over and over and over again. If you're going to impose your religion on me, whether it's gay marriage or abortion, all I'm going to do is I'm going to also impose your religion on the rest of us. Okay, then great. Let's be consistent. Right next to gay marriage in Leviticus says you shall not eat shellfish. It is just as wrong. So anyone who eats shrimp or red lobster loses their constitutional rights. Okay, or crabs, gone. Clams, gone. Oysters, gone. All your constitutional rights are gone if you do that. What? I'm just listening to your Bible.
Not oysters. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, some international news, and then later on, the story that everyone's talking about, Steve King and how he's super transparent about his white supremacy.
All right, back on the Young Turks. $15 from Thomas in South Dakota. Bless your heart, Thomas. $27 from Stuart in Canada. $27 from Wayne in New Zealand. Okay, I don't know if it's little or big Wayne, but thank you guys. And Cindy Croft writes in, for a party that claims to be against government interference, the GOP supports an awful lot of legislation that does just that. Indeed. And Nick, otherwise known as Gaming Pegasus, says male Republicans are buried so deep in their own hypocrisy that they can't see it when it slaps them in the face. Agreed on that as well. And our members of the day are Robert Siverstein and Carl Wallen. So in the post game, I was in Austin over the weekend. I will tell you how I turned on the charm. Did it work with women? Just a little experiment. Just a little warm up the reactor.
I have a lot to say about this.
Okay, go. Yeah. So do I.
A lot.
That's why it's going to be an interesting post game. And I had a super awkward interaction, which is like, it's a little bananas. When I tell you who it is, you're going to be like, Wasitulan. And I had an awesome interaction. You're also going to be a little like,
Okay.
All that in the post game, tytnetwork.com/join.
Also, I just had two things I wanted to mention quickly. First of all, I wanted to let you guys know for the members, few days ago, Cenk and I on the post game were talking about a conservative commentator, and I was like railing against her, and I couldn't remember her name or pretty much anything about her. I just remembered what she was saying about the Women's March. I found out who she is. She's Liz Wheeler, and I wrote a pretty mean piece on her. So you should check it out if you're interested. That's on my Facebook page. I posted a link, Anna Kasparian Official. And then the second thing, this outfit I'm wearing is actually made by a TYT fan who's been watching for 10 years. Mm. Okay, she is an incredibly talented fashion designer, and she makes all of her clothes here in America in the Bay Area. Her name is Laylee, and if you're interested, Laylee's Couture. She did not pay me to say this. She didn't give me free clothes. I insisted on paying for it, so this is not like an ad that I'm getting paid for. I just want to support a TYT fan. She's amazing, and I just want to thank her for reaching out to me.
You're crazy, dog.
I love her stuff.
You paid for it anyway, huh?
I just feel so bad. Like, I feel bad saying like, yeah, give me free stuff. No, like I'll pay for it. I really like it. So
give me free stuff. I'm kidding. All right, let's go forward.
All right, moving on. The Holi festival just took place in India. This is where people throw the dye at one another, and you should see a lot of pictures of it on social media. It looks like a lot of fun. It's meant to celebrate spring, but unfortunately, there's a dark side of these celebrations that doesn't get a lot of attention. Now, the University of Delhi sent out notices to its two female dormitories and let them know, let the female students know, that their dorms would be on lockdown during the celebrations because of harassment fears. Now, the undergraduate women would be locked inside the student halls from 9 p.m. on Sunday until 6 p.m. on Monday. Now, a few students kind of shared their perception of what takes place during these events. One said, it's a very sexualized thing. You get touched or hit on your buttocks or your breasts. Another said, there's a particular targeting of women's genital parts. The student who on Saturday tried to lodge a police case against a group of young men who pelted her with water balloons on my breasts and bum. And so people are worried, you know, they're scared about these young women going out there and celebrating. They're worried that someone might get sexually assaulted, harassed, maybe something even worse. And so the university took action and decided to put these dorms on lockdown. But the question is this really the right way to go about things? It kind of penalizes the women as opposed to really focusing on the issue at hand, which is how guys feel entitled to just harass and sexually assault women like this.
Yeah, I don't think there's a close issue in either case. The case of should they be allowed to just grab people? Of course not. What is this, the purge? Yeah. Like we're gonna suspend laws for 24 hours and you can do whatever the hell you want. And look, before every, by the way, here, let me give you one quote about it. Sabika Abbas Naqvi, the president of Delhi's Student Hostels Union, said the idea of consent does not exist during Holi. Now that's crazy talk. It exists at all times. So what you're just allowed to, okay, if it doesn't exist, can gay guys come out and just rape other men? But the idea of consent doesn't exist on Holi.
Yeah.
So what are you complaining about? So what? He just grabbed you wherever he wanted, and then he did whatever he wanted to. He's stronger than you. It's the purge. It's okay.
It's crazy how this problem doesn't seem to get any better. And I understand, you know, when it's ingrained, or at least not ingrained, but when it's something that's been ignored by authorities and politicians for so long, it's kind of hard to change things. And change takes time, so I totally understand that. But, you know, several years ago, there was a student in her 20s who went out to a movie with a male friend of hers. They got out late. She gets onto a bus and just wants to go home, isn't causing any trouble. Then she gets gang raped and essentially murdered by a group of guys on that bus. And so that sparked an international debate about what's going on in India and what needs to be done to combat the issue of rape. And I feel like the problem doesn't seem to be getting any better. And you see women getting blamed for it. You know, women are getting locked down in this case because of the fear of getting sexually harassed. And I just feel like India has a long way to go. And also, one final thing I want to add. And I know that it's not cool to politicize this, but I have to, okay? It's interesting because those sexual assaults took place in Cologne last year, and it was horrific, and everyone was talking about it, and conservatives especially loved exploiting that story. Like, oh, what about the women? What about the women? We're so concerned about the women. How often do you hear conservative news outlets covering what's going on in India right now? They don't, because there's no political incentive for them to do so. There's no one that they want to demonize the way that they want to demonize Muslims.
If we were going after Hindus and we're invading Hindu countries, they'd be like, look at what the Hindus do to their women,
right?
Now, before our Indian friends get too upset at us because they think we're picking on you, no. Look, this happens in a lot of different cultures in slightly different ways. And there's, I think, a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And it doesn't have to do with me imposing my culture, whatever the hell my culture is, on you guys. It has to do with simple human respect for one another. So, yes, it is a little similar to Mardi Gras. Now, the big difference, and sometimes they cross the line at Mardi Gras too, of course, right? But the big difference in Mardi Gras is, yes, they sexualize women, they ask women to show their breasts, especially here in America. I don't know how Mardi Gras is in Brazil and other places. My guess is slightly similar, right? But there's consent. Consent matters a lot, because you can't ignore certain people as non-human, like they're not in the equation.
Right.
We get to do it from our perspective, but not your perspective. Why can't then women say, okay, we're having fun, now we can just run over guys? I mean, you'd say, what, that's outrageous. You didn't ask for, you're not respecting my rights. Exactly, right? And so many different cultures do this. Spring Ruma, the Amish. The Amish are like buttoned up. They don't do anything that's modern technology, but they give 1 year to their kids right before they become adults to do whatever they want. It's called Spring Ruma. And they go nuts. They do coke. They have orgies. Like, it's like nuts. You know what happens is, because religious stories, they get religious countries, I should say more cultures.
Yeah.
They get pent up. They get pent up. And then they're like, we got to release. Release the Hell's Mardi Gras, Holly, Spring Ruma, the Purge.
Right? That's such a good way of describing it. Because if someone were to tell me, Anna, like, go do whatever you want, no rules. Like, I'm not going to be like shooting heroin and like going crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and it's because I'm not religious. And so I'm a good person. I believe in morals, right? But I'm not going to. My morals are, don't hurt other people and just be kind as much as you can, unless someone really pisses you off by voting for the wrong person and then you call them names and that, you know, that's the only time you're not kind. But anyway.
Look, then let's just real quick also talk about the second component of this, which is locking the women up. No, that's not the right way to handle it. Hey, women get assaulted sometimes, so instead of dealing with the people who are perpetrators of that, let's just imprison the women.
Disaster.
Oh, no. In fact, India's Minister for Women, Manika Gandhi, gave this quote, which I thought at first she was talking about the guys. She's actually talking about the women, which makes it 1,000 times worse. She says, when you're 16 or 17, you're hormonally very challenged. So to protect you against your own hormonal outbursts, perhaps a boundary is drawn.
Insane.
So to protect the women against their own hormones, because you know those slutty 16, 17-year-olds will go out there and let their breasts and genitals get grabbed. It's their fault, hence we have to draw a boundary. She's the Minister of Women. No, that's crazy talk. Look, Holly sounds super fun if you take the non-consent out.
Right.
You know what they drink? They drink a milky cannabis-based concoction.
Yep.
Okay, now we're having fun. You wanna throw dye around, you wanna party? Sounds lovely. Just bring consent back and we could all have fun together.
Yes. All right. Finally, Steve King. We have a lot of videos for this, so
go.
Let's roll through them, okay?
I see what you're doing. You're warning.
All right. Just recently, Representative Steve King decided to tweet a questionable endorsement of white supremacy. Now, he implied white supremacy, and we'll get to that tweet in just a second. But just so you get a sense of where Representative King comes from, apparently after a meeting with Geert Wilders and Frank Petrie, anti-immigrant demagogues from the Netherlands and Germany, respectively, in September of 2016, King even tweeted a photo with the aphorism, cultural suicide by demographic transformation must end. So let's take a quick look at that. All right, so these are essentially people who think white is right, everything else is wrong, and we don't want the mixing of cultures, we don't want, you know, interracial reproduction. They're just terrible people, and he's like, all right, these guys are cool.
This is what Steve Bannon talks about when he talks about the Camp of the Saints, that random book from 1973 that they're all obsessed with. When the immigrants come over to Europe, that was in that book, and here in America, Steve King, Steve Bannon thinks, it's cultural suicide. Our culture is white Western civilization, and they're killing it with all their brownness.
Right, so let's just put that tweet up one more time. Those guys believe they're superior to anyone who's not white.
They've got to protect those genes?
I just want to put that out there. Just putting that out there, okay. All right, so now, what is Steve King getting heat for? What did he recently do? Well, he tweeted this. He says, Wilders understands that culture and demographics are our destiny. We can't resolve our civilization with somebody, we can't restore our civilization with somebody else's babies.
That's unbelievable. What do you mean somebody else's babies?
Okay.
What do you mean by that? You know, everybody knows what he means by that. Well, I don't want all those Latino babies in here. They reproduce a lot. I don't want those Muslim babies in here. I want the white babies. That's our demographics and our destiny. Yeah. But if they get into our gene pool, then we can't get them out. Yuck. Other people's babies.
Okay, so it's interesting because conservatives are all about white women reproducing, right? Uh-huh, which is why they're like anti-abortion. Let's do whatever we can to make abortion as inaccessible as possible. But when they do that, it actually impacts minorities the most. I mean, it's specifically impacting those in a lower socioeconomic status, right? And unfortunately, minorities are usually in a lower socioeconomic status compared to white individuals because of things like institutionalized racism and all that. So it's interesting because wealthy white women, they're going to get their abortion anyway, right? And those are the very people that he wants to reproduce.
So since that's happening and he recognizes it's happening, he's like, what's left? Well, we got to keep them out.
Yep.
We got to keep them and their babies out. Otherwise, you know, there are going to be more of them than us. And by America, he doesn't think all of us together. He doesn't think melting pot.
No.
He thinks the white folks.
So he got so much criticism for that tweet. And in Trump era, things are a little different, okay? You don't backpedal and try to save yourself from a PR nightmare. You just double down. And that's exactly what he did when Chris Cuomo was interviewing him. Take a look.
What did you mean?
Well, of course, I meant exactly what I said, as it always is the case, Chris. And to expand on that a little further, I've been to Europe and I've spoken on this issue. And I've said the same thing as far as 10 years ago to the German people and to any population of people that is a declining population that isn't willing to have enough babies to reproduce themselves. And I've said to them, you cannot rebuild your civilization with somebody else's babies. You've got to keep your birth rate up and that you need to teach your children your values. And in doing so, then you can grow your population and you can strengthen your culture, you can strengthen your way of life. And that's not happening in any of the Western European countries. France comes the closest to having a birth rate that's a replacement rate, but it's a clear message that we need to get our birth rates up or Europe will be entirely transformed within a half a century or a little more. And Geert Wilders knows that, but we've also aborted nearly 60 million babies in this country since 1973. And there's been this effort that says we're going to have to replace that void with somebody else's babies. And that's that push to bring in much illegal immigration into America, living in enclaves, refusing to assimilate into the American culture and civilization.
Like you were trying to say someone else's babies means you're either white or you're not right. And as you know, that is anathema to what America's all about. Can we get agreement on that?
Well, here's actually, if you go down the road a few generations or maybe centuries with the intermarriage, I'd like to see an America that's just so homogenous that we look a lot the same from that perspective. I think there's been far too much focus on race, especially in the last 8 years.
You keep making this point that this country needs to be about white people raising their birth rate and not bringing in other people. That's exactly what America is not.
But Chris, I never have made that point. I've never said that. I've been characterized as saying that. I've had the blogs out there say I said that, but I tell them, go back and watch the tape, listen to it, just listen to the language. Our language is precise. That's not out there.
It's just doubling down. I would like to see a country so homogenous. He totally took a crap on interracial relations and was like, I'd like to see a country that's homogenous, meaning I just want white people to recreate or reproduce, I should say, with white people. And that's it. And let's keep the Muslims and the brown people out.
Yeah. He thinks he's being cute there by the end. We were very precise with our language. I never said white people. Dude, you said keep the other babies. This is not complicated. He said, Chris Cuomo, good job there. Asked you point blank, you're not saying white is right, are you? I mean, that's not what America's about. And he's like, well, actually,
yeah.
You just saw it, rewind the tape, watch his answer. It's not a hard question. White's not right. You don't mean that, right? You mean the other races are fine. I mean, we're America, right? Well, actually.
Also, isn't it extremely creepy that he spends most of that answer talking about the sex habits of individuals in America, right? Like, and talking about who should have babies and who shouldn't. Like, how about you do you, boo, okay? Like, you worry about yourself. You worry about who you're fucking, but leave the rest to us.
So this is actually very biblical. And it's all the peoples of the book, the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Quran. So much of the book is dedicated to build up your own tribe, kill all the other tribes, right? So we need to have more babies, because the Israelites need to beat the Canaanites. And the Canaanites are having lots of babies, and so are the Philistines. We got to go murder them all, okay? Mm-hmm. And let's, you know, cut their circumcision and do the circumcision on them. And when they're in pain, slaughter them all. And then God wants you to defeat all the other gods. Read the Old Testament if you don't believe me. And by the way, read all of them, New Testament, read the Quran. It's filled with this stuff. So that's why they perceive it that way. To them, they got to build up their army. The white people have to keep it pure, and they have to have more babies so they can keep out the other brown people. Those are the others. God told me to reproduce among my own kind. The Israelites are the best, the Canaanites are the worst, the Philistines are the worst. Now, at this day, we're not talking about the actual Israelites. It's an analogy for how they perceive themselves. I mean, this guy has the nerve to come out and says, no, I've been telling the German people this all along. The German people already kind of knew that back in the day. Luckily, Germany is far more liberal today than Steve King or, of course, anything in the past. By the way, in Germany, when he says that, you know what he's talking about. Well, the right wing in Germany is like, we have to keep the Turks out. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are coming into Germany. That's the big immigrant group in Germany. And they're all brown and olive-ness. They're ruining the good German genes. Yeah, mach schnell, get them out. And he says you have to teach your children your values.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Are the values you're going to teach your kids?
Yeah, course it is. He's not alone. Look, on one hand, this is actually great. And it's not great because his thought process is a positive thing or a good thing for America. It's great because we finally have some transparency about the very obvious racism that some of our politicians have, okay? They would pretend that they weren't racist for the longest time. They would pretend like they didn't believe in white supremacy. And now, because of the Trump era, they're like, I'm racist. Hey, everyone, I'm racist.
That's
I'm racist.
Right.
Homogeny.
So Trump gave them permission to come out of the racist closet.
It's insane.
And King has come out fabulously. And so if you want the new Klan, Steve King is your man.
By the way, he also says that he wants to stop talking about race. We've been talking about race too much for the last 8 years. Because of people like you, right? I would like to stop talking about race. But it's really hard when people like you constantly like flood the news cycle with your bullshit. Anyway, let's go to the next video where he talks.
Can we reset some of this a little bit?
Sure. All right.
So Steve King recently said, as you guys have heard, that we need to have stop other people's babies from coming into the country. Mm-hmm. The babies are going to crawl in, right? Anyways, and if you think, well, maybe it's a one-time screw-up, Anna, why don't you give him the history of Steve King and his other comments, and so we get a sense of who Steve King really is.
All right. Well, he had recently tweeted about some white supremacists that he's in favor of. He had tweeted that Geert Wilders understands the culture and demographics of our destiny. We can't restore our civilization with somebody else's babies. That was his exact quote. Now, he was challenged on some of his white supremacy on CNN by Chris Cuomo. And here he is talking about what he truly believes about Western civilization.
I did defend Western civilization that started this last summer at the Republican National Convention. And when I said Western civilization, that launched people that are opposed to Western civilization. That's a big problem. If we have an element of Americans here, and it's a big element, that reject Western civilization, then what have we? This is an effort on the left, I think, to break down the American civilization and the American culture and turn it into something entirely different. I'm a champion for Western civilization. And yes, our English language is a big part of it. It's a carrier of freedom. Right. Wherever the English language has gone globally, freedom went with it. And science, technology has always lifted up the standard of living on average of everybody on the planet. So I want more of that, not less. And there are civilizations that produce very little, if any. This Western civilization still is a superior civilization.
Oh. Yeah, we're dominating when it comes. First of all, the idea that he's in favor of science and technology.
I know.
That's hilarious. And also, Western civilization is not dominating when it comes to technological advancements. There are a lot of Asian countries that are actually kicking our asses. So that's something to keep in mind.
I know, because Donald Trump told me we're not winning anymore. China's winning. Your man said it, not me.
China, South Korea, Japan, kicking our asses.
Okay, so let's break it down for these idiots. So if they just talked about the culture of freedom, science, technology, then I'd be in. I agree with that completely. But he's not just talking about culture. He's talking about demographics. He's talking about other people's babies. The babies don't have any culture yet. Like, if you're born here, you brought up an American culture. So why wouldn't they be just as American as you, Steve King? You're not talking about Western civilization. You're talking about white civilization in your mind. Now, so these knuckleheads, they look at America today and they look at the world today and they go, well, we're number one. Mm-hmm. We're not number one in everything, like healthcare, we're number 37. But anyway, we're number one. That means we're superior. Okay, well, then if you froze time at different times, when the Chinese empires were the largest empires in the world, then the Chinese would get to say, well, obviously we're the superior race. Mm-hmm. Let's not pollute Chinese genes with inferior races, which, by the way, for all of history, different races have been saying that. Let's keep it real on that too. It's not just white people, right? And whoever's ascendant thinks they're, you know, oh, I'm the almighty, everybody else sucks, right? We could have frozen time during Egypt and we say, well, the Africans are the best. Mm-hmm. It's obvious. Egypt is so far superior to anything else on planet Earth. If aliens came down, they'd be like, boy, these white people are horrific. They're so backwards and stupid. Their culture is the worst, right? These Africans got it all figured out. They built pyramids. The white people are still in caves, like drawing with their fingers, right? If you froze time during the Roman period, you would say the Romans are the best, the Greeks, the Turks, yes, the Turks, the Ottomans ruled for 500 years. You say, oh my God, these Muslims are the best. They have the superior culture. It's obvious. How stupid and ahistoric are you? Maybe it's not genetic. Maybe we're all equals humans because we are all Homo sapiens. I know that blows your mind, right? Mm-hmm. And in reality, it's just a matter of how the technology and sharing is flowing throughout time and that things move. And in fact, as Anna points out, technology is moving to Asia now.
Yeah.
So China has now gone to the second biggest economy. Soon they'll be the top economy. And then what? Are we going to pollute their gene pool with our inferior white genes? Come on, can you really be this dumb? And the answer is, unfortunately for a lot of people, yes, Steve King being the chief among them.
And I don't think that someone like Steve King genuinely thinks that white is the superior race, because there's such a obvious level of insecurity among people who have his type of thought process, right? And I always, my mind always goes back to the people online, the white supremacists online that got triggered when I said, I'm better than you, and they still can't let it go. And I'm like, why are they so obsessed with that line? Why did it get under their skin so much when I said that I'm better than them? And it's because they know they're not better. Okay, they're so incredibly insecure, and that's what I see when people like Steve King are talking. So let's go to the final video that we just have to show you guys. Here's Steve King having a really tough time explaining or admitting that Muslims, Jews, Italians are equal. Take a look.
They drove that culture in Ferguson, and it multiplied itself in Baltimore and then across the country.
You go in and you look at a litter of
a Muslim American.
Okay, so we're having a technical issue with the video.
Okay, but it was awesome. Trust us.
It was.
Okay.
It was really good.
All right, should we do the past, Steve King?
Sure. Let's give you some context.
Okay, one more. Okay, hold on. So let's set it up.
Okay.
So Steve King, deplorable, worried about other babies polluting the white culture. This is not the first time Steve King has done this. He's done this many, many times. Let's actually go to video 4 now, okay, and give you the history of Steve King.
They drove that culture in Ferguson, and it multiplied itself in Baltimore and then across the country.
You go in and you look at a litter of pups, and you watch them. You watch them, how they play, and they run around a little bit. And what do you want? You want a good bird dog, and you want one that's going to be aggressive? Pick the one that's the friskiest, the one that's engaged the most, and not the one that's over there sleeping in the corner. You get the pick of the litter, and you got yourself a pretty good bird dog. Well, we got the pick of every donor civilization on the planet. We got the vigor from the planet to come to America.
I also say we need to do a few other things on top of that wall, and one of them be to put a little bit of wire on top here to provide a disincentive for people to climb over the top or put a ladder there. We could also electrify this wire with the kind of current that wouldn't kill somebody, but it would simply be a discouragement for them to be fooling around with it. We do that with livestock all the time.
Congressman William Lacey Clay of Missouri, apparently concerned about, quote, racial profiling in Ferguson, Missouri.
Well, this idea of no racial profiling, I've seen the video. It looks to me like you don't need to bother with that particular factor because they're all appear to be of a single origin, I should say, a continental origin might be the way to phrase that.
And some of them are valedictorians. Well, my answer to that is, and then, by the way, their parents brought them in. It wasn't their fault. It's true in some cases, but they aren't all valedictorians. They weren't all brought in by their parents. For everyone who's a valedictorian, there's another 100 out there that they weigh 130 pounds and they've got calves the size of cantaloupes because they're hauling 75 pounds of marijuana across the desert.
I can't deal with this guy.
Ku Klux King. So Steve King has been massively racist for a long time. There's no need to tiptoe around it anymore. Now with the latest comments about we can't restore our civilization with someone else's babies, it is absolutely crystal clear. The guy is 100% racist. You don't have to pull your punches on this one. It isn't racialist, it isn't stereotyping, it isn't discrimination. Mm-hmm. It's just plain old school racism. He thinks white people are superior. My evidence to the contrary is Steve King. Okay, we are way out of time. We got a post game coming up for you guys where I will tell you at South By my awkward moments, my awesome moments with people you will definitely recognize. And then also I turned on the charm for the first time in 12 years. What effect did it have on women? TYTnetwork.com/join. Bye-bye.